back-to-school instrument checkup or PEG lubrication. Conditions apply. Check website for more. ClassicViolins.com. Support for WGTD comes from Frank's Diner, the diner your mother warned you about. Order what you want, eat what you get. Reservations for parties five or more, call 262-697-1017. Frank's Diner, Kenosha.com.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
And thank you, David Cole. I'm Jim McClure, your host this week. Our guest is Lake Geneva Mayor Tom Hartz. And Mayor Hartz, we welcome you to the program.
Thank you very much, Jim.
This is this business of being a mayor is fairly new for you, but you're certainly no stranger to public service. How long have you been mayor in Lake Geneva, and how did you end up here?
I've been mayor roughly 6 months. I was elected in April, and it was a three-person race. There was a primary, and it was all very exciting. I ended up in Lake Geneva because my wife and kids wanted a place where the schools were good, where it was a small community, people knew each other, and Lake Geneva fit the bill exactly. My wife mostly, but we raised six boys, and I would say they're productive members of society, and we're very proud of them.
Is public service pretty much a calling? Do you need a certain amount of I don't want to say arrogance, but do you need a certain amount of confidence that you can make a difference before you throw your hat into that ring?
I don't know if it's a calling necessarily. I grew up with parents who always told me to make myself useful, and I look at public service as that. It's certainly been interesting. I people say, so what is it that you do? And I said, well, as a mayor, I'm responsible for a lot of different things, and the range goes from the budget, which is around $9 million a year, all the way down to I've now had five phone calls from residents about raccoons and possums that have been killed by cars in front of their homes, and that's three raccoons and two possums, which I think means raccoons aren't as smart as possums, perhaps. But I've picked them up and disposed of them as you should. So those are the things that I do, and it's a vast range, and I don't think it requires a whole lot of special skill.
You personally picked up the possums and the raccoons?
Yes, I think that's part of the service that the mayor is supposed to provide. I haven't seen it written, but that just made sense to me when they called.
It seems to me you're doing somebody's job there, possibly animal welfare or the town dog catcher, but it brings to mind one of our frequent guests on Community Matters, Dave Brettel, who functions as both county administrator and corporate counsel. So you kind of have to be a jack of all trades in Lake Geneva. What part about the job surprised you the most once you took office?
I think that, and I should have known this, but I think that almost everybody I run into thinks that I have the answers. And just because mayor precedes my name. And it's not the case, but what I find for me is that other people have the answers, and if I listen carefully and I get people together in a collaborative way, that the answers will come from that, and they'll be ones that are effective and supportive.
A quick civics lesson in how government is set up in Lake Geneva, especially mayor, whether it's a ceremonial or an administrative post or a little of both.
The The strict definition to it is a weak mayor system. We have a city administrator who is the manager of the employees and the functions of the city. The mayor acts as the CEO, and then there's a council that really has all the authority and the power. The mayor doesn't vote in any of the motions. The mayor runs the meeting, but only can clarify or suggest, but really doesn't have any authority other than naming people to committees, and that's a reasonably important job, and help manage the goings-on at City Hall.
You mentioned administrator. That has to be one of your first challenges, is that the last administrator resigned. How did you respond to that, and how does the search continue at this point?
We responded to it by hiring a recruiting firm, and it's a guy by the name of Kevin Bruner, who, as you mentioned Dave Brettel's name, Dave Brettel is also on his staff, so Dave's wearing now three hats, attorney, administrator, and recruiter. And Kevin suggested that we hire an interim city administrator. And he gave us two candidates, and we hired one. And his name is Dave Berner. And Dave has been here, I believe, 3 weeks now. Calm, thoughtful, smart guy who's guiding us through the budget process. He's helping us figure out about employee health benefits, which is a really difficult topic, and capital improvement projects. So that's sort of inside baseball stuff, but three really important things that we have to do.
How did your city employees respond during that awkward 2-3 week period where there wasn't an interim administrator? Did everybody kind of have to roll up their sleeves and pitch in to keep city administration going?
Responded beautifully, really. It was lovely to see. I was here a lot more, but the department heads did a terrific job in working together. We had just to give you an idea, we had a staff meeting, and the staff meeting is all the department heads and the mayor, and went around and talked about some challenges that each of us was having. Our comptroller said that she was having trouble figuring out some payroll issues, and the head of public works, Tom Earle, said, "Well, we should help you with that. We're all working together on this," and really rallied the group around to solving the problem. And I sat back and watched in amazement, and I was very proud of our group. So it wasn't flawless, but everybody really worked well together.
From what I read in the local papers, Mr. Berner is doing a wonderful job of walking that tightrope between running a city, administering a city, and realizing that, hey, he's not going to be in this role forever, but he's helping you get ready for a budget. He's keeping things going. How much do you two have to work closely to keep the ball moving down the court?
We work together quite a lot, actually, He always reminds me that he has the benefit of being a short-term guy. He leaves after 3 months or 4 months, whenever we hire the person. So he can say things that perhaps I can't, and he does things that perhaps I can't, because he knows it's a short-term deal. And as an example, in the budget, he's going to collect all the department's budgets, put it together, and then define what the 10 largest issues are and present that to the council. He doesn't have to worry about the politics of it. He doesn't have to worry about what the department heads think or don't think about it. He has to worry about what's best for the city and getting us to the end with a finished, balanced budget. And he can do that with no worry about hurting feelings or anything. But he's really smart. He knows how to do it, and he talks to everybody. He's very transparent. So just exactly the guy we need.
One of the things that impressed me reading about some of his endeavors during this three-month period is putting a little aside. Being in a job where you don't have a lot of longevity and yet planning for the future seems pretty impressive to me. Can you explain a little bit about his vision, perhaps yours and the council's vision, of making sure there's something for that rainy day?
Yes, one of the first things he figured out, and this is 2018, and we've been a city for a long time, but we don't really have a capital improvement policy, which means how much do you set aside for a rainy day, and what is a capital cost that we ought to be saving for? So he started to define what those things are and help the council look and see, buying new computer isn't a capital cost. That's really an operating cost. So that's something that we should pay for right out of our budget. But buying a new fire truck is. And how do we save up to $1 million to pay for that? And what's the best way to do it? And mm-hmm. And so that was a very good start to the process. But he absolutely understands how long roads last when it rains a lot and things flood, what do we have to do there to respond, those sorts of things.
Suffice to say that after 6 months, your initial campaign areas of interest still hold for you. What was your vision during the campaign, and how are you working on those particular topics now?
Well, the three areas were active residents, a lake that's clean that we help sustain and is usable, and then city finances. Those are still my three areas of interest and priority. The residents, I want to make sure that they understand that this is their government and they should take an active interest in helping run the city. When I'm at City Hall, the door is open. Anybody can walk in, and trust me, anybody has. I always have the shades up so people can feel comfortable coming in. We are taking our finance license and regulation committee meeting, and we're going to be moving it back to Monday, so it'll be back in the council chambers and on TV again so that people can see it at home if they're thoroughly bored. We are keeping the committee of the whole meeting, which is when residents can come and talk about any issues they want. We're being much more open and available. And in terms of the lake, there is, as an example, there's a new invasive species called the spiderwort that the Geneva Lake Environmental Association is going to be fighting. They've asked us for assistance in that, and we're providing the assistance that they requested. We see it as a threat, and we'll do whatever we can to help. We are going to be looking at things like our leaf disposal process, which one of the things that I was told was an issue for our water is chlorophyll. Well, that'll come from leaves that decompose in the lake. Well, if the leaves are, we rake our leaves out on the street, and then the street department comes along and picks them up. If they stay out there during a rain, that rain will wash the leaves down the storm sewer, which empties out and ultimately out into the lake or into the creek. And that causes a problem. And so if we can figure out some other system there, pick it up. So those are the sorts of things I'm looking at there.
You know, a lot of visitors will come to enjoy the lakefront. And one of the common things I hear is, can't believe how clear this water is, how gorgeous it is. Some of the environmental concerns isn't as much about water quality as it is against, what, the fishery being threatened by these new species? Or
Yes, exactly that. And the spider wart, for instance, does eliminate places where fish can habitat. So within that 100-foot area from the shoreline out into the lake, that 100-foot ribbon around the lake, that's where what Ted Peters says is really the most important part of our lake. That's where the sensitive environmental issues are, and that's where the threats are.
And Ted Peters is?
The director of the Geneva Lake Environmental Association.
As we talk about your main thrusts with active residents and the lake and city finances, I also want to talk about, I'm going to call it the 1,600-pound gorilla, and that's tourism. Especially speaking to our listeners in Racine, Kenosha, I imagine a few of them come out here. What's happening with Lake Geneva in terms of tourism? What's always been there for those who are unfamiliar with this area? What's always been there as an attraction, and what's coming around the corner from how you see things developing?
Well, I think the attraction or the activity that is the most used and certainly on the Visit Lake Geneva website is the most hit, I think is how we describe it, is the shore path. The visitors love being able to walk through the front yards of people's homes and have the lake on one side and oftentimes these beautiful mansions and gardens on the other, and it's an intimate setting, and many, many people avail themselves of that, and that's been here, I should know the year that we started, but it's been a very, very long time. That's the first piece. The Visit Lake Geneva just did a study. It was a branding study and asked visitors what was the most important thing to them in the Lake Geneva region, and they said downtown Lake Geneva. So in that vein, we are deeply concerned about the health of our businesses downtown, and in November we will get a report from a consultant by the name of Roger Brooks, who will assess our health as a community and specifically our downtown and help us figure out what next steps might be. And then in terms of new things to look forward to, I think our canopy tours, zipline activity is now quite well known. It's been in business maybe 5 years.
And that's where when you go zipping through the woods, hanging off a wire, basically?
Yes, it's not something that I would do.
Me neither.
but they also have mountain bike trails back there. They've got hiking trails. They have all kinds of activities. Yep. And I think they attract a lot of people, particularly younger people and young families. And then sometimes it's corporate retreats, you go and do that. We have 20 golf courses within roughly 15 miles of here. That's always been a standard. We have the lake, and we have public access to the water. So there's a lot for people who are visiting to do. One thing I found out this year was that Kettle Moraine, the state park, has some of the world's best cross-country ski trails. I mean, world-class cross-country ski trails, which I'm not sure even people in Kettle Moraine know. And this comes from a fellow who has competed internationally, and he was here this winter and said that he couldn't believe that we weren't celebrating that. So lots to do.
To me, one of the amazing things is someone who relocated in the area from Chicago, I believe you have as well, is how vibrant the town downtown is. So many downtowns in Wisconsin just died out during the 80s. And we've got all the formulas for that, the Walmart that was built on the side of town and the other interests, the big cities far away. But somehow this place keeps going, and in the second half of our program, we'll get into your stake as a business owner downtown and what you do. But what has kept this downtown so vibrant over the years?
I think some of it is the businesses that are downtown and their efforts to keep current in terms of their product, in terms of their service. I think it's no small factor that our downtown is right on our lakefront, and we have some really beautiful parks nearby. I think that the connection that we have to Chicago and Madison and Milwaukee helps, because we are a small town within an hour and a half of each of those. So people think, well, just for the day, I can run over and we can have a great afternoon and see some beautiful sights. So we have natural beauty. We have a physical architectural beauty of downtown and proximity to bigger cities.
You're listening to Mayor Tom Hartz. We're speaking from the City Hall of Lake Geneva. And in the second half of our program, Community Matters, we'll be talking about Mayor Hartz's background as a restaurateur in the building industry. Some of the big issues in town, the budget to upcome, I believe next week there's going to be a meeting this coming week. So let's talk about in the second half of our program. I'll remind you now that you're listening to WGTD-FM in Lake Geneva on 103.3 FM, in Elkhorn, the county seat of Walworth County, 101.7 FM, and of course our home in Kenosha and Racine, 91.1 FM. And around the world and to all the ships at sea on WGTD.org from Gateway Technical College, your source for NPR news and classical music. And our source for news today is Mayor Tom Hartz of Lake Geneva. And welcome back, Mayor. And let's get into a little bit of history, first of all. What first brought people up to Lake Geneva way back in the 1870s, say 1871, I believe, is the key year.
You're talking about a fire, and
there was a fire in Chicago.
There was.
Who knew?
And so that was when the great migration, as we sometimes call it, of people from Chicago up to Lake Geneva started to take place. And these were a lot of the industry leaders and the civic leaders from Chicago. And so they built palatial homes that they would be proud of. And the train brought people up. It was quite a time for us, as much as it was not a great time for the city of Chicago. But we benefited as a small community, and I think we've done well with it ever since.
A lot of people can still see those mansions, if they don't live in them, on the tour boats that come around town, that go around the lake. Are you familiar with some of the efforts to bring back Stone Manor and some of the other mansions along the lake as tourist attractions?
I am, and in a limited way. Stone Manor, I know that a couple has bought all but one of the units. They're turning it back into a single-family home, and I believe that they will buy the last unit when that person is ready to sell. A number of the mansions on the north side of the lake have been renovated. The Wrigleys have been doing some work on their property. The gauge boats give you a wonderful tour and history of the developments along there and the families who live there and what's transpired. I know a number of the boat captains. They are friends. Most of them are teachers or former teachers at Badger High School, and each one has a different spin on how history works, so it's a lot of fun to take the trip a couple of different times.
Speaking of history, the Chicago Northwestern used to come up here. I think stopped about 1976 as far as Lake Geneva went. Incidentally, an interesting historical note, the big lumber company in town, home renovation company in town, is Dunn Lumber. And I think it was Richard Dunn told me once in a news interview, he was here the day the last train rolled into Lake Geneva. Not the passenger train. Passenger service stopped in 76. But in 1982, he was doing what any 18-year-old kid working at his family hardware store was doing, which was, okay, it's your day to go out and unload, you know, the railroad car with the 2x4s coming in. And he went in and then realized the next day that that was the last time a railroad car rolled into town. Do you ever wish you could have that back, the rail service again with the passengers?
Yes, frankly, every day, and in part, my business, the other hat I wear is the CEO and founding partner of Simple Food Group, and the Simple Cafe is right on the old railway, and across the street from our restaurant was where the old station was. We found tracks that are still in place underneath our patio when we were putting that in. So that was a day to remember, because we were trying to drill a hole through a piece of steel that was 4 inches thick and realized that that wasn't possible. But yes, it's every single day I think about an opportunity that we really missed, and that's a shame, but we are where we are.
Are the tracks still there under your patio, or did you rip them out?
They're still there.
That's amazing to me. It might be fun to uncover with a glass tabletop or something sometime. But when I first moved to town, being a railroad buff, I was trying to figure out where things were. And it's not too hard. You can see the right of way and the trees working its way. And then you kind of take the same angle and you go down the main drag. And then all of a sudden you see things like your restaurant at a weird cant, and with the occasional bank dropped in the middle of it. But all of a sudden you see buildings that are on a diagonal all the way leading out of town around County H. Let's talk about Simple Cafe. I think of it as a place that gets where you get fancy bread, but is it an actual sit-down restaurant?
Yes, we serve breakfast and lunch. We open during the week at 6 in the morning and close at 3. And we have a bakery next door, and that supplies the restaurant with bread and baked goods. And also the bakery has a little retail area, and you can buy pastries and bread and cakes there. We also just recently won the contract for bread and pastries for the Milwaukee Bucks. We're very proud of that.
No kidding. For the actual games?
No, not for the games, for the events that they have. And they have special boxes, and we'll be supplying product for the special boxes during games and so forth. Peter Fagan, who's the CEO, asked us if we could do hamburger or sandwich buns for them for the games. And I think the number was somewhere in the 30,000 to 40,000 a night range. And we respectfully declined that. Our bakery isn't that big, so that would have been overwhelming. But yeah, so we're doing that. We're very excited.
I want to talk more about Simple Bakery, not as a shameless plug. After all, we are non-commercial radio, but it says a lot about your values as mayor, the values you have with that business. You founded, first of all, the whole idea of how you run the business with, I don't know if the term is, I would say ecological values, which we'll cover first, and then social values. How is what you represent, what you present there to your customers, how is that sourced a little differently than things have been in the past?
We started out, my wife Lori and I had read a book called Animal Vegetable Miracle by Barbara Kingsolver, and it was a one-year adventure for Barbara and her family who moved to North Carolina, and the objective was to eat only things they either grew on their farm or bought at farmers markets. And Lori and I thought about it and said, why couldn't we do something where, not just with our family, but with the whole town? And at the time, we were thinking about a restaurant, and that became the impetus then for the model, which was to buy things from our neighbors, our farmer neighbors. And so we get Lynn Lean's eggs. She's from Burlington. We get mushrooms from Eric Rose. We deal with the Costers up at Geneva Lakes Produce. We go to the Sweet Corn Lady. We buy from as many local farmers as we possibly can. During the summer, we're in terms of our ingredients, we're able to source locally about 85% to 90% of our ingredients. During the winter, that falls off. But we are going to be starting a canning program where we can can product and then use that all winter long. So we should be able to do even more.
As far as the social end of things, it's no secret around town to anyone who is involved with food pantry work or assistance. Simple contributes a lot of to those agencies. How did you get involved in that, and what is the extent of it?
Well, roughly at the same time that we were starting the restaurant, my wife and a woman by the name of Shannon Blay were starting an organization called Side by Side. And Side by Side is an organization that operates within the school district of Lake Geneva, assisting people who could use just a hand up. If you're living paycheck to paycheck and you your car breaks down, you can't go to work for 3 days, that 3 days lost wages shouldn't send you into either foreclosure or eviction or can't buy your medicine, that sort of thing. And so Side by Side will help in those instances. And we decided one of the things we wanted to do was to become a place where groups like Side by Side could raise funds and help our neighbors. And one of our guiding principles is to engage the community, and that's how we've chosen to do it. And it's been absolutely the best thing, I think, about what we do. I think we serve great food and we have great service, but one of those fundraisers is like a huge community party, and everybody's there for the same reason, and that's to help somebody else. And there's no feeling like that anywhere I've ever been.
I don't know if you get thanked in person a lot. I can tell you from experience, having been short a paycheck or two over the years and seeing other people at these places and doing news stories, the transformation in people's appearance and mood and demeanor from when they walk in with shoulders slumped to where they walk out with a bag full of groceries and some simple baked foods and others along with it, it really does make a difference in people's lives. Have you ever had anybody come into the restaurant and say, hey, I've had it the other way around, now I want to cash in here? Do you ever hear directly of those efforts?
We do, and it's really, it's remarkable. It's there's an old basketball coach. Well, he's not old anymore. He's passed away. But a guy by the name of John Wooden, and he described a perfect day as doing something for somebody without any expectation of getting anything back. And I think it's simple. We have perfect days every day because we're able to do this. It's part of the way we do business. It's part of who we are. It's part of who our staff is, and it just that's what I think sustains us. It's as I said, it's the best part of, I think, of what we do.
You mentioned city finances as part of your focus as mayor and part of your campaign when you ran earlier in the year for your first term as mayor. Check me if I'm wrong. I think you mentioned 45% of the people in the city of Lake Geneva are on meal assistance.
It's 45% of the kids in our schools.
The kids.
Yes. come from, they qualify for meal assistance, which means they come from families that are living at some level of poverty. And when I mention that number to people who don't think of Lake Geneva that way, they are stunned. And I think it's really important that we understand that those are folks out there. And as you and I discussed before this program, I find that those folks are people where it's there's two parents and they're both working one and two jobs each. And in a resort town, there are a lot of wages that aren't high enough really to sustain a family that might have two or three kids. So that to me is a huge problem.
As both mayor and as a local business owner, I'm sure you believe in the economic philosophy that a rising tide lifts all boats. You mentioned to me before we started that 22% of the revenues of the city are based on good weather. How do you, in a city that's half tourist town and half not during the year, how do you balance that out? How do you increase those numbers, which in turn helps everybody out?
It's a tricky balance, I think. But my thought, and this is what I am pursuing, is that the folks who are in the jobs where the wages are not sustainable for their family are people who need other skills and skills to do the jobs that are higher paying. And we have a great system, gateway that's up in Elkhorn and over in Kenosha. Some of the folks that we're talking about don't have transportation to get to those places. So I'm doing what I can to have a gateway campus opened in our business park and have that campus focused on training for the businesses that are currently out there. So somebody who is working as a maintenance person on a golf course, for instance, can take some training and learn how to do tool and die or learn how to use a CNC machine. Which is a more skilled job, which will offer that person the ability to work just one job, raise a family, and have lots of options in their lives.
The important thing about having those kind of jobs available in terms of not only helping the community, but in making it a year-round destination. How do you keep the city, the downtown, vibrant during that time? Is there, if you were to give to the current business owners, the ones who are newer, who think they're really going to cash in and do during the tourist season, what is the key to keeping that business up and going in the off season?
I think all of it is catering to the people who live here, to the residents. And for instance, our business is we're not exactly a 12-month business, but 10 months out of the year we are doing very, very well. And then in the 2 months where we're off, it's maybe by 10-15%. And I attribute that to the things that we do that are community based. I attribute that to having our place available for events, and we don't charge rent for that. We want people to use it. We want people to get together. And I think other businesses in town have that same ability. They don't have to be a food-related business, but they could be a business that sells clothing. Well, perhaps what they do is use that connection they have with clothing to provide winter coats and do some of that thing, start to show people that it matters to them that they are in Lake Geneva and that they are part of the community. I spoke with a friend of mine, Tommy Keefe, the other day, and he has an organization called Keefe Cares, which does an awful lot within the community. And I asked him why he did, and he said, well, we want to give back. And I told him that's not a term that I I use, because that suggests that first we got to take away. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't call it giving back. I call it a way of doing business, and I think it's the right way, and that's to be active in our community and supporting the folks who could use a hand up and making things about local, about buying food from local farmers. And I'll use this as a shameless plug, and I apologize, but we calculated that as of January 1, at the beginning of this year, that we had spent over $3.5 million with our local farmers. That's money that stays right here. It's if I buy a dozen eggs from GFS, for instance, at 90 cents a dozen, the farmer who raised the chickens, who took all the risks, who did all the work, gets 11 cents. If we buy our eggs from Lynn Lean, which we do, and I write her a check at the end of the month, that's her check. It's not a check that she has to split with anybody else. It belongs to her, and she has reinvested in her farm and started other businesses. It makes sense. I can't see any other way to do business.
One of the biggest business stories of the past couple of years has been Foxconn, the Chinese maker of large screens and other high-tech consumer products, locating in the Kenosha-Racine area. The latest news, I think, was they bought the old Northwestern Mutual, or leasing the old Northwestern Mutual building in Milwaukee for a headquarters. Isn't there some potential for Lake Geneva to benefit from all that gaining of new employees to the east of here? Could some of them very well end up in Lake Geneva as either tourists or residents?
I think they could. We are at the edge of how far people would like to commute, so that's fine. They would look at us maybe as being out in the country, if you will. As a tourist town, we do have some amenities that other places don't have for towns of our size. We currently have two theaters now. We have, I think, some very good restaurants. We have a beautiful beachfront. We have a lovely community building right on the lake. We've got lots of things to offer. Our school system in the livability index received a B+. It's been a school system that has national merit finalists. It has sports awards. It has education awards. So we have a lot to offer, I think, for people who really want to make this their home.
One of the biggest gripes, I guess, the locals always have is over the parking, either hard to get or hard to afford. Do we see any changes coming in the parking arena, or another run maybe for TIF money for a parking ramp of some sort?
Yes, I have heard that parking is considered an issue, and of course you can look at it two ways. There's not enough supply, or there's too much demand. And if we look at supply, I would really like not to pave any more of our downtown and park cars on it. I think a ramp that goes down rather than up is conceptually something that would make sense to look at. But I also think reducing demand is another way to look at it, and we haven't done that before. And perhaps a better bicycle lane system and route system, perhaps changing our zoning so that stores downtown that have apartments above them don't have to provide one parking space for every bedroom. That's a formidable challenge for most of the buildings downtown. So if more people could live downtown, they don't have to drive. They don't need to park their car when they come down. We could have more events, let's say, on Thursday nights just for residents, and then they don't have to fight through downtown on weekends when it's crowded with our visitors. So I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and I think we have some creative minds that can help us figure that out.
Mayor Tom Hartz of Lake Geneva, I want to thank you for joining us this week, and good luck with the budget deliberations to come and the remaining part.